Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plain Stalkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I am your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my finally won a game in fantasy football. Okay, he's been doing better than that. Co-host Aramis Perez. Aramis, how are you tonight, sir?
Excuse me, I'm 5-1, so.
I know, you're doing better than me in the league right now, so. And I'm going to lose this week, too, so. Yeah, it's one of those crazy days. So.
Quick tangent aside for fantasy football, so if you're not interested, sorry.
Plus 15 on your iPod player.
Yeah. What literally won me the game was that 60-yard field goal that the Dallas kicker had right before the half. I was like, if I win by less than 6 points, that's why, and I won by 2.
And, let's go right ahead and get into
Untap, Upkeep, and Draw.
Okay, Untap, Upkeep, and Draw. What we're going over tonight is, well, first of all, things must be maintained. It is my last Oktoberfest of the year. So unless I buy more, because apparently work decided to give us, for some event, I won a Price Chopper $10 gift card. So in a way, my work buys the beer.
Kind of a roundabout way. But, yeah, okay, sure.
Oh, damn, that's good. But so I've untapped mine, but let's go ahead and do some upkeep here. Here's what's coming tonight. Obviously, folks, in case you've been under a rock, Wizards announced just after last week's B&R announcement that, in fact, I think we were off the air for like an hour when it came out, that they are actually moving up another, they're going to do another ban and restricted announcement a week from today, on Monday. Coincidentally, the day after Mythic Championship 5. But they are very much going to be doing another B&R, and we're going to talk about that, what it can mean. Then for combat, who knows what we're going to do? To tell you the truth, folks, we may not have one. It depends on this conversation Aramis and I have. We might come up with something. We may not. We may just skip it. In our second main phase tonight, though, we are going to talk about a little bit about the metagame challenge, what Aramis played. I didn't play in the event because, I'll tell you why. There was a new product announcement this week of ancillary, I would say, is a good word for this. Ancillary products, side products, not new sets necessarily, but they talked about, more game and casual type stuff. Then we do have some emails and comments from people on Facebook and a few reviews. So all of that's coming your way tonight. Aramis, but let me tell you, before we even get into that, I'm just going to tell you right now, I have done nothing but play Magic all weekend.
That's two in a row, right?
Yeah, my kids were here, and apparently they're addicted, like, badly. Like, Matthew, my youngest, he had me help build him a deck. Like, I built him a green stompy, and he loves it. And it's not horrible. It's, it doesn't hang against Field of the Dead.
Well,
but
there's not much that
does. Not much does.
Yeah.
Well, they were getting mad at me, too, because I played my new Mono Red. And Mono Red is kind of a thing again. Like, they've started to crack that code. Tormund is huge.
Oh, yeah. The dwarf?
Oh yeah, he's ridiculous.
He's a good card.
But even Wendy's now got a white standard deck. Like, because we actually Matthew had a friend over this weekend, and he hadn't been to a gaming store since my old store Guardian closed last year. So I was like, okay, well, we got two gaming stores. I really wanted to see the one down in Fort Plain, sorry, and it's called Gamers Revolt. Great store, by the way. I went in there, had it, we walked in. It was nice. It was small, very intimate. I might go there on a Friday night if I'm not going to Kerwin's, and hang out because it's kind of, it's a little bit of an older crowd. They get about 8 to 10, he said, for Friday Night Magic. So I might bring the kid and Wendy go and let him play. And then we went over on to Professor Bond's and had a great time over there. They just have wider selections. Kind of cool. Bought a whole bunch of stuff, came home, and literally just played Magic for like almost 24 hours. Like, they were just like constantly playing. It was fun. It was a whole lot of fun. And now Wendy's all like, I'm gonna play with my white deck at some point because I'm gonna beat you. She's like, I'm gonna work on it. Where are the standard cards? I'm like, they're in the you go through the binder. So what about you? What's up with you these days?
It was a long weekend, meant cleaning weekend, so there wasn't a whole ton of Magic. But I was able to play some Arena. I'm going to try to go to Kerwin's this Friday. It's going to be kind of weird because it's, right before this announcement. We don't know what or if we'll be banned,
We know what's happening, though. I mean, really.
We have a reasonably good assumption, but, until they actually say it, we can't know for sure because we're not wizards and all that good stuff. But yeah, I played in the I played some drafts. I played some standard. You know,
Alex says we need to sell all our cards now.
All the hype cards, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, I tried to play as much as I could. But yeah.
Well, you know, and you brought it up, like the B&R. Why don't we just go ahead and get right into
main phase.
Okay, main phase. Our main phase tonight is probably the same thing. If you listen to other Magic podcasts, they're probably the same topic they're talking about. It is rare. And I'm not going to say it hasn't happened and I haven't seen it happen. But it's rare that Wizards is going less than 48 hours after a B&R where they said no changes for them to come back and say, well, we took a look at the metagame right now and we've decided that we're going to do a B&R a little early this year. November's B&R is going to be October 21st.
Well, I mean, the thing is, that's not even the reason that they said it.
Okay.
They said it was due to a busy competitive schedule. They wanted to make sure that the banned and restricted announcements were more in line with the scheduling of tournaments, which is, you know, nice.
They didn't want to hit the Mythic Championship.
Yeah, they're covering their butts because if they waited until November 18th, they would have gone through two more Mythic Championships before the next banned and restricted announcement. And I'm pretty sure that Standard would be a dead format, no pun intended, if they had not made some kind of a change before that. And thank you. And they realized that they probably missed their best shot on the 7th or the 9th or whenever it was. The 7th.
Yeah.
And I can, on the one hand, I can understand it because the format is literally 3 days old when they make the announcement. But they released the cards about a week early on Arena, and the Arena players basically solved the metagame for the first weekend, and it was everywhere. So,
and we just have a combat because it made me think of something.
All right. So it
I just added it to the show notes, but just so you know, we will have a combat.
All right. So, you know, the Golos Field of the Dead decks were all over the place in the meta. And
it's all over the place everywhere.
Yeah. It's like everywhere.
Arena, meta, GPs, everything. It's.
They just had the SCG open in Indianapolis. The standard classics, five of the top eight decks were Golos Field of the Dead based decks. So it's still dominating the metagame.
Yeah, it's obvious to me that there, you know, so we do not have any insider trading, nothing, okay? None of us are sitting here saying that we know what's going to happen next Monday, but we know what's going to happen next Monday.
It's a very safe guess. I mean, it's one of those things where if we're wrong, it'd be a bigger surprise than the actual announcement that they were changing the date.
Yeah, because the at the end of the day, I truly believe what's going to happen is that they are going to ban, and we had the combat last week, and you could call it a win if you want. I think they have to ban Field of the Dead. I think they have to. Or restrict it.
Yeah, they've never restricted a card in Standard.
I think we might see a first. Because it's a land, I could see them saying, we're going to restrict it in that, we're going to errat it. To say that it is a legendary land.
They definitely won't do that.
Okay, you don't think
they
so?
They will not do that because they don't like, because that's a major mechanical change on the card. If it was like if it was like a printing error or something like that, where they said, well, it actually was supposed to be this, and we just print, you know, it just messed it up and did it this way.
Yeah, but nothing says they can't say that that's what.
Yeah,
it was.
But that's if they're gonna do that, they might as well ban it.
Yeah. I could see them. I could see a restricted happening. I could see them saying, "Okay, you can have two in the deck."
You know, I mean, you know, they only restrict cards really in Vintage, even Legacy.
Well,
even Legacy,
but there's nothing that
list.
Says they can't. Again, now, let me ask you this: like, okay, they're not saying it's in paper. Are we going to see maybe something similar to a Nexus?
No,
where they're just going to restrict it in. You know, because that's kind of what they did in Arena.
They did that with Nexus.
They
of
restricted.
Fate in Arena.
It was a restriction, I would think, more than a banning.
There's a difference, though. The difference is Nexus of Fate decks weren't as powerful best of three as they were best of one. They were much better best of one.
Oh,
Field
yeah.
of the Dead decks are good both best of three and best of one. They're even. I mean, they're granted they're worse in best of one because you have no way to deal with them.
Right.
But they messed up. They messed up.
They
and
did.
Looking back,
I think the Golos mechanic with it. I think you remove Golos. There are other ways. And that's just it. I could see Golos.
They could do both.
I could see them take just good. They could. I think if they do both, they are going to try to nerf another deck.
But the problem
I don't see them just nerfing an entire mechanical deck.
Well, I think we, and we touched on this too on the combat last week. I think if they just hit Golos, the deck still has plenty of ways to search for the land.
Yeah, it does.
You know, or even not necessarily that land, but getting lands into play. And mm-hmm. between that and Once Upon a Time, I mean, it's still it would probably knock it down a peg, but it would probably still be tier 1 instead of tier S.
Right. But would it be top of tier 1? Would it be 26% of the meta? That's the question.
Probably.
That's the question.
Probably it would lose some points, but it would probably still be top 3.
Yeah, cuz I am not opposed to it being at the top of the meta. I am not opposed to it being in the top 3. I think you need a top. You absolutely need a top. But when it's, you know, and I'm looking at MTG Goldfish right now, according to their, you know, rules and their thinking, it is 23.83% of the meta. That is ridiculous when you think about the number of decks that are out there right now.
Yeah, 1 in 4 chance, like, that you're going to be playing against a Field of the Dead deck, at least according to MTG Goldfish, which I think, I don't know if they take every major tournament into account. I'd be willing to say that it's probably slightly higher. Probably closer to 25 to 30%, but it's one of those situations where now I remember I took a break between Kamigawa and Almancat, so I missed the whole thing with Felidar Guardian. But the last time I remember a ban coming this quickly to Standard, it may not even
be Rampage and Rosadon.
No,
I would say.
Well, I mean that was still wasn't as fast. This metagame's not even 2 weeks old.
That's true.
I think the only other time I remember something being banned so quickly, I'm not even sure it was Standard, it might have been the old extended format, was when they banned Memory Jar right before the set was released.
They banned that energy there. Shoot, what the hell is it called? They banned that pretty quick.
That was still during my break. I wasn't around.
Yeah,
for that.
I know. Yeah.
Aetherworks Marvel, I think it was.
Yeah, Aetherworks Marvel. They banned that. They realized. Whoops.
Yeah, and they did the same. I think they did a similar thing here with Field of the Dead. I think they, because looking back, I someone mentioned this on a Twitter thread. There's an old M Files article on the Wizards homepage that Melissa DeTora does, and they talk about Core Set 2020, and they talk about Field of the Dead, and they basically mention, it's like, oh, well, we kind of wanted to make Scapeshift good in Core 19 until it rotated out, and it might be good for Commander.
I think, too, yeah, I mean, they were, I mean, Core 2020, I mean, that's just it. This is not terribly fast, is what I was going to try to say, was because it's not horribly fast because we're not talking about a Throne of Eldraine card. We're talking about a Core 2020 card, which has been out 2.5 months.
True.
All right. And it has warped the meta since it came into play. Now, it got bigger after rotation because, like, some of its answers went away.
Yeah.
You know.
Field of Ruin.
Field of Ruin. Blood Moon.
Blood Sun. Yeah.
You know, Alpine Moon.
Yeah, all those things. Even
a lot of things went away that could deal with it. Mm-hmm. Even Rampaging Ferocidon would have been a wonderful check card against that deck.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, sure, get all of them you want. Have fun.
Take lots of damage.
and that's just it. Like, the card is not, like, it just needs, like, something in Theros. But, I mean, I don't want to say, yeah, you're right, in 2 months it'll be dead.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I almost wish they'd be like, we're banning it for now, but in Theros we might unban it.
The funny thing is like when you first look at the card, you're like, all right, so
it doesn't seem that powerful.
It looks kind of innocuous. You're like, okay, 7 or more lands with different names. All right, so that means I'm probably playing a bunch of weird tap lands and stuff. All right, so I'm probably 5 colors. Yeah, probably Gates. All right, that's going to be a little slow. Oh, wait, look at all these tutoring effects. Oh, wait, look at Gold.
Yeah.
What's this? Oh.
Well, it's the little monkey there is ridiculous in this deck.
Oh, the sloth?
Oh, yeah.
Arboreal Grazer. Ban him.
Yeah.
A card that is terrible. Absolutely. Look, just disgustingly bad in War of the Spark Draft.
So I proxied it because, again, I don't have certain things. Like, I don't have the giant I need and things like that. So I proxied it one up together real quick. So I wanted to play it, and I wanted to kind of show it to my kids and my wife.
See, this is what degeneracy looks like.
this. So we're sitting there. We're playing We're playing four man. Wendy, you know, we're not playing even two-headed giants. 1v1v1v1. And they're all like sitting there going, this isn't that bad. This isn't that bad. Wait, what? It's turn three. How do you have four lands? I'm like, nothing to worry about. And again, they hadn't thought about it. And then all of a sudden, you know, turn five and I've got seven lands. And here comes, you know, Golos. And I go and find my second Field of the Dead. And then they're like,
today, boys and girls, we're learning about the stack. Here's your lesson. And it, bend over, bite the pillow.
it was amazing. Like, they were, first of all, they got really annoyed all weekend long, because between that and my mono red deck and the Gruul deck I built, like, they were just like, and I'm sitting there and I'm going, they're like, you can't play that deck or that deck. I'm like, what the hell do you want me? What, am I going to go crack game night? Like, this isn't fair. You know, it's like, come on. Well, to be fair, now, Matthew's deck, I went on MTG, I grabbed a net deck for it because I wanted to make sure he could hang with his brother, because his brother's running the vampire deck, you know? And, oh, Peter Burston is saying he wishes he knew of this podcast earlier. Where the hell's my mouse? That's the problem. I have four screens right now, so I have no idea where the hell my mouse is, but because I want to put it on the screen here. There we go. Thanks, Peter. We're glad you're here now, man. Welcome now.
You got 35 episodes to catch up on. You're good.
Yeah, there you go. 35 episodes. We try to keep it an hour. It's like a day of work.
I mean, a lot of it's going to be dated, but still, it'll be good content. Yeah.
Well, our early episodes, just Nexus of Fate, just hit that plus 30 button about four or five times, because we beat that dead horse. But moving on, let's beat another dead horse, Field of the Dead.
Uh-huh. This one is dead, literally, in every sense of the word. Dead on card, dead, going to be as of next week.
I do think, you know, but going back, I mean, it was kind of fun to play that deck. It is a fun deck to play if you're the pilot.
Yeah.
But it's literally almost as bad as Big Teferi in that I has all the funds and you have none of the funds.
And good luck trying to make sense of the board state when you have all of these zombie tokens all over the battlefield.
Yeah, this ain't Arena, man. Where the hell am I going to get 50 tokens?
Even an Arena.
I'm pulling dice out. I'm pulling, like, you know, like, I'm opening a box of mac and cheese. Like, I'm just like, oh, why?
These three 20-sided dice are these zombies, and the 20s are the number of zombies there. These 10-sided dice are more zombies. Oh, by the way, here's Kenrith.
But these ones have summoning sickness, so, you know, they're not going to come
right
away. But
that's where Kenrith comes in. Pay an extra red. Kill him right away.
Yeah, Kenrith is... I think Kenrith is one of the best cards in this set as far as Swiss Army Knife.
I feel kind of bad for Kenrith, to be honest with you, because...
You do?
It's a buy-a-box promo. Normally, he wouldn't see play. He's largely or only seeing play because of Field of the Dead. It's going to get banned. He's going to go right back in the binder.
No, I've got him in my fire deck.
Yeah?
I have him in my... I'm playing the five-color fires.
Oh, okay.
I know it's called Jeskai Fires, but I went ahead and threw a couple of black and a couple of green, like the Shockland green-black and the Guildgate, and then one Swamp.
Okay.
And I did that mainly for Kenrith, because I'm like, I have found when I'm playing that Fires deck, having being able to bring Kenrith out turn five or six or seven, giving things haste, or bringing shit back from my graveyard.
Yeah.
Or the five life was automatically happening, but the two things, like being able to put a 1/1 counter on things and bringing things out of the graveyard, I have found that card, like, I am putting it in every deck in any deck I play, because he just kind of fits, you know, and he's value if I have white mana. Obviously, I'm not putting him in, like, you know, my mono red. That's just stupid.
Right. Going to something that Peter just mentioned, playing against the entire deck in Arena or in real life is boring, painful, and just not a single bit enjoyable to be around. You know what? I've been on both sides of it, and I can fully agree with that, because I've been playing, when I do play Standard, I've been playing a little bit of Esper Stacks, and I can beat it. I can beat Field of the Dead, but I need to either...
Do you have a nut draw?
I basically have to have a nut draw. Basically, like, sit there and say, I have to have Legion's End at some point. I have to draw at least three Wraths, multiple copies of Oath of Kaya, make sure I get Doom Foretold and Dance of the Mance, like, in multiples, so I can just be like, wipe your board. Okay, there's a bunch of guys. Wipe your board. Okay, there's a bunch of guys. Dance of the Mance. Wipe your board. Okay, then attack in for a bunch. I've done
Legion's Lost.
Legion's End, yeah. And Legion's End to kill a bunch. I mean, it's tough to do. It's really tough to do, because you need so many board wipes against that. And it's just... And then playing... With the deck, you're just like, I mean, as long as I'm drawing lands and I find Field of the Dead, how can I lose? Mm-hmm. It's free creatures.
And there's enough ways between Securitas Root and Golos himself and Arboreal Grazer. And, well, Arboreal doesn't really look, but between that, you know, Securitas Root. And now people are throwing the damn giant in.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's like, it is. It's a it's horrible. I mean, you guys can watch the stream I did earlier today. I had my mono red deck, and sure enough, Golos.
All right, interesting question for you.
It was horrible, and I don't ever want to talk about it again.
If you were locked in a room and the only deck you could play against for the rest of your life was Nexus at its peak or Field of the Dead at its peak, which one would you rather be stuck with?
And what am I playing?
It doesn't matter. You're in hell, so it's the worst deck, worst matchup possible. Like, you can't actually beat it.
Listen,
but you,
I'm a Christian, man. I'm not going to hell. You're the burning one. I'm good.
I'm keeping the seaworm for you. You're playing, but anyway, you're playing whatever deck that can keep it at bay, but actually cannot beat the deck. Doesn't matter what that is, but you will eventually lose. It just takes as long as possible each time. So Nexus or Field of the Dead, which one would you rather be stuck with facing for the rest of eternity?
Because Nexus goes infinite with Teferi, like, I think the torturous one would be Nexus. Because at least in Field of the Dead, you're going to kill me.
Hmm. Well, I mean, they'll kill you eventually with Nexus of Fate too. They'll callous dismissal something a million times. They'll deck you.
No, you said it, its heyday. Now, callous dismissal wasn't a part of it. At its heyday, it was the four Teferis, Nexus of Fate, a few dozen thousand root snares. Like, it didn't really have callous dismissal in it. You might throw a Hydroid in there for the win con.
Was it the Hydroid Crisis? I think wasn't there something else that it played like a single copy of? I don't even remember back then, but it had a win condition.
Why are we bringing up Nexus Fate? We've killed this horse, man. Like, the Peter's going to go listen to this and be like, oh boy, they're right.
Zombie horse never dies.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I still miss Crested Sunmare. I will always miss that card. That's why he's in my commander decks, is because I love that card.
That's a good card. It's not a bad card.
He's a fun card to play.
A whole hell of a lot more fun than Field of the Dead.
Oh, everything's more fun than Field of the Dead. So, I mean, I think we're both in agreement on this regard, that Field of the Dead is probably the target.
That's public enemy number one, for sure.
Yeah. I think the MC5 this weekend is going to tell the tale, because it's probably best of one, I do believe.
I don't think so. I think
that's going to be, you know, that's going to be the teller.
Well, and the question is, how it's 78, I think, people that are playing. I'll have to find it. But
I'm looking it up now.
They're basically wondering. Somebody made an open post. Is how much over under on 50% of the meta being Field of the Dead?
Yeah. Oh, it is best of three standard constructed.
Yeah, Field of the Dead's going to be all over the damn place.
Oh, it's going to be everywhere.
Yeah, it's going to be riveting, riveting gameplay.
Yes and no. I think you'll see some fires. I think you'll see some gruel.
You will. You will. I'm not saying you won't. I'm just saying Field of the Dead is going to be everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to win a lot.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I think it's going to. I mean, here's the thing. Gruel can hang.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we're going to talk about that next week. Once we know what the BNR is and what's being kicked, we thought about tonight trying to go through and saying, hey, combat, you know, what's the deck that's going to take over the top spot?
Right.
But without us knowing what's going to happen, because Wizards could completely throw a fastball and be like, no, we're banning Fatal Push from Pauper. You know, I know it's uncommon, but I mean, you know, or something like that. Like, they can. Like, they could go sideways on us on this.
Yes.
But I think not. I think, given the timing of what happened so close to the SCG event and other events that were going on, that the team event at SCG, where you saw seven of the top eight are Golos, like, that's telling.
So I guess the question would be, you know, there's 68 players. I mean, you know, a good chunk of them, Peter says, at least 33, a third of the meta is Field of the Dead already. How many of the top eight, I want you to call this number right now, what's your over-under number on Field of the Dead top eight decks?
Well, over-under, I think, would be five.
Five?
Because there's a better than a half chance, but I wouldn't go so far as to say, you know, it's like an 80% chance. I would say five. I would say over-under is probably six.
You watch.
You know. Or top eight, yeah. I would say five.
Watch it be like eight. Watch it be every single freaking deck.
That would be... I think if that happens, they won't even wait till fucking Monday. They'll be like, and we're signing off for Mythic Championship. Oh, by the way, Field of Dead is banned. Good night.
Yeah. You know? Oh my God. Can you imagine if that happened? I mean, it's already bad enough that people have been... The surprising thing to me, like I've said, is the fact that this format is so new and it's already so solved to the point where they're like, you're playing Field or you're just kind of... I mean, you might get lucky.
Or there are ways around it. Like I said, I can hang in a Fires deck.
Yeah, but...
My Fires deck hangs because I have, you know, I've got Deafening Clarions in that deck and I have the Agent. Now, the problem is they play their Agent and now we're ping-ponging. But, I mean, you know, and I have Unmoored Ego. Mm-hmm. Like, I use Fae of Wishes to go into my sideboard, grab Unmoored Ego, and since my Fires of Invention hopefully is out by then.
Right.
That, you know, and there is nothing better. Like, it is almost like opening the Brazen Borrower from a regular pack when you cast Unmoored Ego and say, Field of the Dead. Now there's one on the field, and you're like, I know you have three more.
Yeah, but even then, that still doesn't feel that great.
Oh, no, it felt wonderful to watch them go into exile. I imagine this guy is looking at his screen going, no. I think he still won, though, at the end.
Yeah, that's the thing. It can still win even with one.
Because I think, I don't think I had Fires of Invention out. Like, that was the match where, one match I had where I never saw fire. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, fuck.
And even still,
I mean, I hung. I could hang.
Yeah, but even still, even the decks that you know hang on against Field of the Dead, you're still sort of fighting the odds. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
And so when you win, it's a miserable slog, but you feel good. But then you're like, oh God, I got to do this again next round. Oh, here we go.
Yeah. Oh, and Peter just put up the information on the event,
the breakdown for the decks. I think.
And since we're on a video, none of y'all can copy that, and that's very, very long. So just look up Mythic Championship in the, whatever the hell that search engine is. I don't know. Go Google it. But I like doing that these days. I'm like, oh, Wendy, if only there was a way for you to go on the internet and find out all the information. I can't remember the site. You probably just should go Google, like, what site you would use to search things. And she gets very upset. So, but I, you know... And it makes you think. I mean, if we're just going to, like, spitball here, let's say Monday comes. Mm-hmm. They ban Field of the Dead, not Golos. I could see both, but I'm going to say Field of the Dead first. Say they ban Field of the Dead. What do you think's taking top spot?
Well, that's tough because, I mean, Golos Fires would be probably... Although, Golos Fires
would be broken.
Even that's still a Field of the Dead archetype, though?
Not sure. Let me check here. I mean, I think if you've got Golos, you're putting Field of the Dead in there.
Yeah.
Because why wouldn't you?
Right.
It has four Field of the Dead in it, but I don't think it needs to. Fae of Wishes, Krasis, Golos,
that's
Kenrith,
still a Field of the Dead
Beanstalk.
Deck, yeah. So it wouldn't be Golos Fires. Yeah. Looking at the meta,
I think Jeskai Fire Super Friends would help.
Jeskai Fire Super Friends would probably be in a pretty good position. I think the Stax deck would get an improvement for sure.
Gruul Aggro is ridiculous. The Questing Beast is—it's as bad as we thought it was going to be.
Questing Beast is pretty good, yeah. And I played against the Gruul Aggro deck in the during the metagame challenge, and I feel like I could have beaten it, but it's another one of those ones where you really have to draw your removal right away because it's like everything in that deck has haste. Every single.
And game. I think Golgari Adventure is good. The problem is, I think it's missing something to take it over the top. It's still very good, and there's a lot of adventures, and there's a lot of things to do, but it needs, I'm not sure what, it needs something.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's...
You know, and Mono Red is still in the hunt. They're, you know...
And a lot of it, too, is that a lot of these decks have, like, part of their strategy is also skewed towards Field of the Dead. Because they know they have to beat it, and they use the best tools they have available to them to do that, and there's not really anything good to do that. So you like, there's no individual answer that's really efficient for it. So your best bet is to try to say, well, how do I get around what they're doing? Because that's really all I can do. How do I kill them or slow them down to the point where I can win? Whereas after the ban, I think a lot of these decks, a lot of the inner bits are going to change around a bit. So
I agree.
I have no idea.
I think we're going to see... I think you're going to see the two-color decks kind of coming back up. Gruul. I think you'll see Dimir. Dimir has a really good... Like, I think it's got a good skeleton. Hmm. I think it's getting figured out.
It could be like a Dimir mill.
Yeah. Well, mill's happening. We knew that. I've played I don't know how many blue mill decks. And Dimir mill is better. I think you're going to see... I think the problem with Esper is, in any of these, Sultai, Esper, any of these three colors, Bant, the problem comes in at mana base. Well, and I think without the checkland, yes, okay, we have the scry lands for the enemies and all that.
Yeah, but some of them are better positioned than others.
Right. Without the checklands, I think the game slows.
Yeah.
And so people are playing a lot more two color decks like Gruul and Golgari, and I'm surprised is not out there, because there's some real
Well, is this probably not
broken
is this probably not out huh? there because Field of the Dead just runs it over.
It does. I think when Field of the Dead comes out, I think Izzet can get a bump, because some of the stuff in blue is ridiculous. Fae of Wishes is broken.
Fae of Wishes is a very good card. I like Improbable Alliance.
I do too. It's a lot of Throne of Eldraine's blue stuff is broken and dangerous, and yeah. But I mean, with that, I mean, like I said, that'll probably be our combat next week. You and I are going to go to town and say which deck is better. Mm-hmm. And whatever you guys think out there listening, Peter, what did he say here? Is that it will get issue of Golgari Adventures that will basically no support with no more adventure cards to make it better. Well, that's just it. I think it has all the adventure cards it needs, Pete. I think it needs other than adventure cards, and I don't know that it has it yet. Assassin's Trophy is a great card, but it doesn't really have... The Veraska that's out there now kind of sucks. It doesn't really have a top shelf planeswalker, I don't think.
And Garrick, really, kind of.
Garrick, mm. Yeah. All right, Garrick, I'll take.
Or maybe even Liliana, but I don't know if you'd want to use that for those.
Now Golgari Wolves, four color wolves. That might also be a deck. Wolves is not a joke. But I think with that, again, it's a lot of speculation at this point. But let's go ahead and get right into our next phase here.
Combat phase.
All right, this just came to me just now while we were talking. You talked about something being week one, and they didn't want to ban anything right away week one after a new thing. And I think we've talked about this before offline.
We talked about this as one of our combats before.
And skip it. I win. No. We were going to talk about, does pre-release need to happen? Like, because my thinking was this. If, imagine Throne of Eldraine released a week earlier. Full release. Which it does in Arena.
Yeah, like, it releases early in Arena.
And if we're doing Friday nights at 6 o'clock now, and we're doing pre-release at 6 o'clock on a Friday, mm-hmm. why the hell don't we just release it? Like, that week. This is it. It's now... It goes standard legal that week anyway. You're just waiting around a week before you can buy the cards.
Well, it's like... Yeah, it gets the digital release, like, a week early, and you can play events early. I mean, it's... But Arena's not, like, DCI sanctioned, and it's some weird nebulous thing.
But rotation this year happened at pre-release.
No, rotation still happened on the 5th of October. Yeah, it still happened. Rotation happened in Arena early.
Oh, okay.
So that's why the metagame in Arena was able to form early before the actual release, which is why they knew Field of the Dead was already good.
Because I personally believe that pre-release, doesn't need to happen anymore. But with all of the fact that you spoil every damn set the whole way, like, why even do pre-release? Have a release draft.
I mean, they have that weird mystery booster thing coming out later in the year.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in main, too.
I'm curious to see what that is, because they're not spoiling anything on that.
It's an Iconic Masters 2 or something.
Probably,
something
like still.
And that MTG Goldfish podcast had that on, and I was like, yeah, probably. It's going to be something like that. It's going to be a modern weird set, not a modern Masters, but... Mm-hmm. That being said, if we've talked about it, we won't comment on it, but that was what I wanted to say, was like, pre-release just doesn't need to happen. Like, just release it. Just, it's out. Merry Christmas.
Yeah,
here it is.
They need to figure something out with that. I mean, I still like pre-releases because it's, you know, it's
so do I.
It's a casual thing, and you get to play with the cards technically early.
But you just call it release weekend, yeah. And there's release packs. We take the pre off the pack. You do everything the same, but it just rotation happens.
Especially since you're allowed to buy boxes at the store.
Yes, like I could do everything but buy individual booster packs that week.
Here's the one reason that I would say, it just popped into my head, that they keep pre-releases. Because of the reason I just said, you can buy the boxes early from the game store. You can't buy them early from the big box stores. So this gives the LGSs a chance to get some revenue before Walmart and Amazon gets it. Okay, I can get behind that. You know what I mean?
I can get behind that. But they can still release it and just not give it to the big box.
Or maybe if they supported the local game stores more, you know, just a thought.
No, that's going to happen anytime soon.
I know.
These guys are just, no one's going to be starting. Okay, it's up there. But that was our combat. My thinking this way was just, you know. So let's go ahead and get right into
main phase.
All right, main phase two tonight. There was an event on Arena this weekend. It was the standard, what was it, metagame challenge?
Yeah, the metagame challenge.
And I didn't play it. I'm going to be honest with you. I was like, it's Golos. Everything's going to be Golos and bored. I mean, I would rather ladder with Golos while it's still like almost assured win con.
Mm-hmm.
Is that bad? Like, I just want to get out of gold. I'm like, I'm going to play Golos until I get out of gold. And then I'll play other decks. But I was like, if I'm going to do that, I'm not going to play the standard metagame because I'm either going to have a mirror match or somebody's going to be rolling in there with a deck designed to kill Golos, and I'm not that good at brewing. So, but what did you play?
Well, before I get to that, I mean, the way the event worked, if you're not familiar with it, is you bring in a regular standard meta deck. It's best of three. You're only allowed one match loss before the event ends. You can re-enter it as many times as you want. I believe it cost 1,500.
It was like 5,500 gold or something.
It might have been like 5,000 gold or 3,000 gold. It was a bunch of gold or some gems.
Mm-hmm.
And as you won, the prizes got exponentially larger.
Normal, right?
If you got to seven wins, you got 5,000 gold and 30 booster packs, which is pretty good. I think the farthest I ever got was like three or four wins. The couple times that I played, Esper stacks.
You're just bound and determined to make that deck happen.
Well, the biggest reason was sort of similar to what you were saying, is that, you know, if I'm going to play if I'm going to play Field of the Dead, it's going to be something that everybody else is playing. It's just the games are going to take forever. Which, you know, they still took a long time with the stacks deck, but whatever. And then, you know, you might run into the decks that are trying to beat it, but at the same time too, it's weird to play a deck that you know is just gonna get banned.
There is something to that. You're not wrong.
You know, it was like
I stopped spending any sort of wild cards or anything on it.
Yeah, it was a little awkward. So I was like, you know, I'll give this a shot and play it. And I had fun. I actually didn't see too many Field of the Dead decks. I saw a few. I saw a couple of Gruul decks. I saw some like a really random black white vampire deck that I somehow lost to. But you know, it's tough. It's tough competition. And it was a good time. I think it's a good event. You know, if you want to take a chance at like a lottery ticket and get a whole bunch of booster packs and a bunch of gold, because you can end up making, you know, I think it was 2,000 to enter. Because I think I remember saying, okay,
yeah, I think it was something like that.
If you go all the way, you make a bunch of extra gold, plus you get just a crap ton of packs that you can crack to fill your vault progress or get some more wild cards, fill your collection, and then go again.
Right.
I like the idea of it. I'm glad that they don't do it all the time. I think it's like once every couple of months, but yeah. It was a good time. I'm glad that I tried it out, and kind of wish I'd gotten more wins, but it just means I got to get better.
Do you think this brings up a question, and I don't mean to detract from that, but in Arena now, say they do ban Field of the Dead, do we get wild cards?
I imagine. I hope so. They did that the last time when they banned Nexus of Fate. They gave everybody who had it.
Yeah, but they did it in Arena. They didn't do it. It wasn't a paper ban.
No, I know, but still, people still spent wild cards in Arena to get the card, or they bought the big bundle to get the buy a box promo.
Right.
So I imagine, you know, people have, you know, cracked packs or spent wild cards to get Fields of the Dead, and they're going to want compensation now that they can't play their card in Arena, because there's no other way to get rid of, like, if the card was banned in Standard, you could still theoretically trade it or sell it. You know, you'd get nothing for it, really.
Well, no, you can play it in Historic. Go on.
Yeah, you, the silence in the face, if you can't see the video. Yeah. But yeah, Historic's not even a thing. They haven't even done an article about it. Nobody's talked about Historic. You can't even play it normally on Arena. You have to do challenge matches. It's the only way you can play it right now.
And I think what we're going to see is we might not see anything. They might be like, oh, we have to do this because Rotation is coming. They forgot Rotation happened.
Yeah. Like, why? What? Like, you would think...
Next year we'll talk about it.
You would think that they would have a Historic event, like, a week or two already. You know, they would have already done one, just to say...
They'll do it at Christmas time when nobody wants to play.
Exactly. Exactly. But yeah, I don't even know what I was going to say.
Sorry about that.
It's all right. I lost it. It's fine. I don't think it was that important. But it's one of those things where it's going back to Historic. Just,
mm-hmm.
Oh, that's what I was saying. Like, if Field of the Dead was banned in paper, even if you got, like, you know, a buck a card, you got something for it. Whereas in Arena, you're literally stuck with it. You can't get rid of it.
We can't even dust it.
Can't even, yeah.
And again, that is something they need to change.
So they'll either give wild cards, or they give up to 4 booster packs of M20.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's like, and at least they're going to do things like, you know.
Because then what happens if you open Field of the Dead in a booster pack? If you're still cracking packs for M20, what's
going to happen?
That's
what I mean. It's like, I imagine what they'll do is they will pull it out, I think, of, you know, the booster packs and all that. I don't think they're going to keep it, you know. I would hope not. I hope you can't crack a freaking Field of the Dead. Or
maybe what they'll do is they'll increase everybody's collection to 4. So that way, if you don't have the full set already, you know how it automatically switches over to another rare that you would have gotten if you didn't have this one already? Maybe they'll do that.
Right.
I don't know.
And that's a possibility, and it's a probability. Something like that. I just... Yeah, it's an interesting thought about what they're going to do in Arena when that happens.
They need to do something.
They are. And I think they have... I mean, Arena's... Paper is still the flagship, obviously. But Arena is... They're throwing a lot into it. So I don't think they're not... I mean, I think Arena is a factor in this. Especially coming this weekend. We will see at MC5. What happens, because I do believe that, yeah, we're going to see 60 to 80% of the top 20, even top 10, probably be some sort of goalless deck.
And you'd be
foolish not to play.
Yeah, and they can't get around it like they did at the last Arena Mythic Championship, where Nexus was a thing, but they like purposely gave it as little camera time as possible. It's not going to be, there's no way they can do that this time.
No, there's none, and it's going to be an obvious thing, you know. And not just that, because they could also say, "Hey, we're just doing best of one, so Nexus can't show up." Like, you know, you're doing BO3, so Field of the Dead is going to be there. Now, Fires will be there. Like we said, Fires will be there. I think you'll see some aggro. Red aggro can hang if you draw right. You need to mulligan properly.
Well, part of the problem, too, is that the deck list had already have been submitted as of last week.
They were already submitted as of the day they announced.
And the mono red deck kind of showed up like right around the end.
Yeah, so I think you're going to see a lot. It'll be Bant Golos a lot. Be a very interesting event, and I'm gonna watch it. It'll be on Twitch. They're gonna broadcast, and you know, I highly recommend, if you're around, go watch it. It's gonna be worthwhile.
It kind of reminds me of the thing in Forrest Gump when they talk about all the ways you can have shrimp. You can have Bant Golos, Sultai Golos, Five Color Golos, Golos Fires. Oh God, kill it with fire. Oh wait, already.
Oh
did.
Dear. So you know, that's that, and I mean, Arena's kind of. You're right. We're just kind of all thinking the same thing. It's just kind of like, well, this is gonna go away, you know. And then we got to see how it's almost like a rotation again. We're gonna have to see how the metagame shifts,
mm-hmm.
What's gonna happen. So Arena's gonna be kind of iffy for the first couple of days, I think.
I don't think it'll take very long for people to figure out what's good.
So With that in mind, though, there was another announcement last week. We're going to pivot off of Arena. And there was an announcement last Friday, you know, and it had been rumored, but they went and did their weekly MTG event podcast slash YouTube video. And they came out, and the first thing they announced was, which is kind of good for me. And I think that, you know what? I think this is a great product because it did. It completely worked on my kids and my wife. They are going to update game night. They're making a 2019 game night.
Mm-hmm.
If you're unfamiliar with what Game Night is a all-in-one, you know, basically meant to sit on your game shelf at your house, board game shelf, five decks of monocolored Magic, basically. They're all pre-conned, and they're all designed and balanced against each other. So, you know, no deck is really overwhelmingly better than the other. And it's meant to be for casual or for, you know, new people or to introduce them to the game. You got four or five people at your house. They're like, let's try this Magic thing. You pull it off the shelf and you shuffle up and deal. It's a great product in that regard. It really did. It got my son into it and my wife into it. My other son was already kind of into it for a while, fell away, went back to playing Pokemon. Now he was playing Magic again. So I can't say enough good about this product. And we're going to get the new version because, you know, sometimes you don't want to deal, you know, sometimes you don't want to deal with the construction. Like, I'm far more advanced than my family right now. Like, they're not there yet. And so I'm constructing decks that just smack them around. And sometimes they just want to play. You know, where my construction skills or my ability to go on Goldfish and copy, where my skills don't, you know, matter. It's an equalizer.
Hmm.
So, you know, it's a great product. They've already released the big five Bombad, you know, cards that are coming because every deck has one, like, uber monster, I guess, is the best way to do it.
Yeah, it's almost like a commander.
Yeah. It's a really great product. And if you have someone in your house or somebody you know that might want to start playing Magic, this is a great thing to have to get them started. And then I didn't even think about this. They said it during that podcast that the decks are also designed for you to eventually, like, if you're tired of playing Mono, which we got. We were like, oh, God, I'm seeing this a little too many times now. They're like, no, go make two color decks. You know, take 30 of one color, 30 of another color, and there you go. And they're like, the way they designed it, it's still meant to be balanced. I'm like, interesting. And I mean, it's weird. The blue deck doesn't have counter spells, but mostly flyers. And the red deck is all goblins. There's like no like direct burn. But again, because it's balanced, I kind of understand that.
Yeah.
Like if you were playing a game with somebody and they're like counter spell, you're going to be like, F this. I don't want to play this game. Why wouldn't I can't play it. So what do you think of it, though? I mean, you played it once. I brought it to work before you quit.
No.
Or did you not play
it? I never played Game Night.
Okay.
No, I like the idea of the product. I think it's a great product, especially to get people introduced into the game. I'm probably going to try to see if I can pick this one up, because I missed last year's edition. So
it'll be about $40 probably. And and here's the thing. My in-laws are probably... My wife was like, she's like, what do we have my parents get us? I'm like, have your mom get us that. She's like... And I'm like, it's for the family, and they only spent $40. She's like, that's genius. Okay. What does she get for Isabel? I'm like, I don't care. So, I mean, it is. It's a worthwhile, like, little thing to do. The other thing that they announced, which I'm also kind of excited about, it's another silver. It's not. I'm not going to call it a set, an expansion set. It's not a draft set. Like, it's not the Unchained or whatever the hell it was called last time. But they're calling it Unsanctioned.
Yeah, it's like an un-supplement.
It's an un... Well, it's not even that. It's kind of an un-all-in-one. It's kind of like Game Night. The way I understand it is there are five 30-card decks.
Yes.
In this set. And I don't think you buy them individually. I think it's just one box.
It's a game box.
Yeah. And there are, you know, five 30-card decks. And you take one color and another color, you put them together, and somebody else takes one color and another color and put them together, and there you go. You go head-to-head. And it does crazy, stupid things like flip this card over, and if it lands on its top, then you lose 5 points. You know, it's an unset.
Yeah.
It's a silver-bordered set. Now, it does have the full lands. Huh?
It's all the crazy stuff that cards can't normally do.
Right. It does have full lands. I think it's got 10, and then 10 foiled versions, I think, or something. So it's almost worth it right there. I might buy, like, two just so I can have the full lands. But with regards to that, it's a really, you know, that seems like a fun set. I'm kind of looking forward to kind of playing a little bit and poking my head around. And then finally, the other thing at the end of it, which is really the big thing, which has gotten all of us kind of like, ooh, what is it? They introduce the idea of what they're calling the Mystery Booster. And the Mystery Booster is going to happen at, was it GP Richmond?
Or? Magic, yeah, Magic Fest Richmond.
Magic Fest Richmond. Yay. And they're going to, you know, they're going to do a pre-release there, and then the next week it's going to be available to everything. They're not telling us what it is. They're just calling it the Mystery Booster. Now, I believe, given the timeline where this is going to fall, I think we're going to find that this is some sort of Iconic Masters, or I don't think they'll do Ultimate Masters again. And I don't think they'll call it Masters, because they said last time, they're like, we're not going to be doing Masters anymore, but it'll be a Master set. Because, and again, I'm going to pilfer an MTG Goldfish podcast that I was listening to earlier today. You know, they're right about one thing. It's like, think about the last time we had a modern reprint. It's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
And decks are creeping up in price. So they do need to do a reprint. Now, of course, next year with Zendikar, if we could get the Shocklands, that would be good. Or not Shocklands, the...
Fetches.
You know, the Fetchlands would be great.
You know what my... like ultimate magical Christmas land, never gonna happen, but it would be awesome if it did with these Mystery Boosters. Reserve list cards.
Well, they said they're not gonna do reserve list.
Yeah,
they said somebody asked. They're like, we are not touching the reserve list.
You know, just
it's time. Do it. Wizards, you are 27 years old now. It's time. You could put a few things on the reserve list out, and I think it'd be okay. You know, I do. I mean, find some way to make them less valuable, you know, but...
Functional reprints.
Yeah, functional reprints. Call it like Mox Amber with R-E, you know.
Ambry.
Yeah. I mean, but just... And, you know, and again, we are focused on standard here, folks, but we talked about the BNR. There is talk out there, too, that the BNR might be Mox Opal. And, you know, things that like that they might go a little bit more modern on this. It's Field of the Dead.
Yeah. It's at least Field of the Dead.
Yeah. So keep hoping for Thraferi, though.
That's not going to happen.
Hey, I can dream.
Yeah.
Three fairy. You know what, Wizards? You want to make me happy? Ban Field of the Dead and Thraferi.
That just means Narset takes over.
That's true. But, you know, with that, so those were the big events. Other than that, it was kind of a pretty quiet week. I mean, the BNR is really what everybody's been talking
about.
Yeah,
bated breath on that one.
Yeah, and I'm very excited to see what happens Monday. I'm anticipating... Oh, and they did put out the release dates for the next two sets.
Yes.
I think the pre-release is January 14th for Theros. Something like that. It's somewhere around there.
I think it was right around the 24th.
Yeah, 24th might be what number I was thinking. So Theros will be releasing then. And then they put out the release date for the next thing after that.
Yeah, Theros release date is January 24th, and Ikoria is April 24th.
Right.
Ooh.
So it stands to good reason that probably Zendikar is going to happen...
Q4.
Probably July-ish, August.
Fourth quarter. So it's going to be the fall set.
No, usually core is a fall set.
Core is going to happen in July. That's what happened the last 2 years.
Oh, so core comes with... Oh, so Zendikar is going to trigger rotation?
Zendikar triggers rotation.
No shit.
Yeah, so the shocks are going to go away the same time the fetches probably come in.
Yeah, that would be how they would put the fetches in. Yeah. Are you kidding? Could you imagine standard if we had shocks and fetches?
They would... Like I said, they would never do that. shocks into fetches and standard again, which I think is freaking silly. I mean, you printed Nexus of Fate. You're printing all these searching cards anyway. People are going to be shuffling their decks no matter what. Heck, you printed Fabled Passage, so there's a fetch land in standard, so just do it.
And there are ways to do it. You could say, you know what? Here's a way to fix the fetch lands. You know, go find your land, put it on the battlefield, and at the end of your turn, shuffle your library.
Oh,
you can't because you might play a card after that.
No, and plus two, that means you get to look at your deck, so you know what you have. If you're not shuffling after you search, then...
Right, you might do something that draws a card.
Yeah, and you're like, I know exactly, I've basically stacked my deck. I know exactly what my deck... Yeah, that won't happen.
Put it on the card that this land can only be cast at end step.
That's when people typically crack their fetches anyway, for the most part.
Yeah. You could say, this land can only be cast...
Well...
at the end of your end step.
That would be a weird thing, having a land come into play, it's a land with flash, but it can only be played during your end step.
Could happen, though. Maybe. I mean, it would solve the shuffling problem. Mm-hmm. Because then you're shuffling, in essence, while they're doing their turn. So, and that's not a horrible thing.
Just reprint the original ones.
Yeah, no shit.
Really, just reprint the original ones.
You know, so with that in mind, though, I mean, so those came out. They gave us that information, which is awesome. We don't have any emails this week, which is not great. You know, guys, email, we like it, but I mean, it's okay because we did get some content from our listeners out there in the form of. First of all, we got two reviews on our Facebook page this week. So the first one came from Ricky Race, and it actually happened September 18th, and I just found it this week. I realized that we can do that. So welcome to my nightmare. And so Ricky actually put it on September 18th. He said, hey, it's very informative and interesting to listen to. So thanks, Rick. And then a new listener, he just discovered us the last couple of weeks. Jamie put on, he said, it's casual, fun, and informative. Discussions are balanced and both sides are explored fairly. I thought that was pretty cool the way they did that. So thank you to both of you. If you want us to read your review, go ahead and put one up on Facebook or we talk about it at the end, or put them into iTunes, especially. iTunes will actually help grow the show. But let me see here. We did ask for some comments this week as well, as far as when the banned and restricted announcement came out. And we did get some people commenting. So the first one came from, we put up there and we said, my post was published on October 9th. It said this is happening. For them to go out of ban like this can only mean they're going to ban something. And it being the day after Mythic Championship 5, one can only assume that it's going to impact the Golos field of the deck engine. I have no doubt they're anticipating an outcry following the event in 2 weeks. What do you think? Comment below or send an email and we'll talk Monday. So Ricky, one of our listeners, he did say, he wrote goodbye, Field of the Dead.
Yeah.
And then Jamie went another way. He's like, ancient stirrings are Mox Opal from modern. Neuter the best modern deck or just hit Tron. And
the only thing I could say against that is that they literally just did bans in modern. And
right.
I
don't feel like they neutered the top deck in modern. Like that was my response. I said after Hogak, modern seems to be settling, and then losing Izzet Phoenix at the same time because Faithless Looting.
Wurza, I guess, has become a big thing.
Yeah, but Faithless Looting being lost, Izzet Phoenix is dead.
Hmm.
Like it's DOA. It's now a tier 3 deck. So I don't know that they'd go out of ban for this for a modern banning as big as Ancient Stirrings or Mox Opal would be. Mox Opal would be, but I really do think that this, and he's like, he wants, he said, but I would ask, the vintage restrictions came out of the blue on the Hogak BNR. He's right. I think by ask, he means point out. There's probably going to be some modern restrictions put out this week. I don't disagree on that. I think the big one is going, I think the reason they're going out of band is it has to be Field of the Dead.
Yeah.
It has to, whether or not it's Field of the Dead itself, or they're going to try to go and say Golos and, your mom. I don't know. But you know, that being said, you know, the whole point of this whole section is thank you guys for writing, for taking the time to, you know, interact with us. We really enjoy, you know, interacting with you people, our listeners and our viewers. And it's weird. It's like we're a podcast, but I'm starting to realize we get more interaction from our videos. So apparently we have faces for TV because people want to watch us and not listen. So first of all, I can't blame you because look at me. I'm freaking gorgeous. But, you know, with that being said, I think we might as well just go ahead and get right into the
end step.
All right, we're at end step now. So we're going to start packing up our boxes and rolling up our play mats and, you know, throwing away our wrappers that are sitting on the table because, damn it, your mother doesn't work here. So, but as we're starting to put all this stuff away, Aramis and I want to remind you that we do stream Arena on the Planeswalkers Podcast channel on Twitch. Just look up Planeswalkers Podcast, and you can also follow me on Twitch at MindCrime73.
You can also follow me on Twitch at RMECWRX. I've been streaming lately on Wednesday nights. I'm hoping to keep that going. So usually around this time, so between 8 and 10 o'clock at night Eastern. So if you're interested in watching me, I'll be terrible at Magic. I will be on Arena playing either standard or draft. But if Twitter is more your speed, you can find our show at Planeswalker Pod on Twitter.
You know what? I know we have our thing at the end, but Mrs. Benson posted. So she also is saying, please, oh, please let it be Field of the Dead. Yeah. Yeah, you see, I have to put her like on the screen because, you know, life and things. So I love you, honey. She's in the other room. She's all magicked out, man. This is great. So our, like he said, our Twitter is Planeswalker Pod. My personal Twitter is at WR Benson. It gets a ton of like content from me all the time. I post literally nothing on Twitter half the time. I think I post very, very rarely. But you totally can follow me there. I love the follows. And of course you can always follow us on Facebook. Just look up Planeswalker Podcast and like and follow our page. We do record there every Monday night. The podcast you're listening to right now while you're sitting in traffic and wondering when the heck all of this fine content comes your way, we record it Monday nights around 8 o'clock. So if you come to the Facebook page and check us out, you can watch us record it. And again, see my wonderful, wonderful face that is just amazing and you should totally look at.
And finally, on that note, you can send us emails and even ask for advice in our Ask Aramis section, where I can offer you tips on anything from deck construction to limited choices. And if you're interested in sending us an email for that or just to let us know how we're doing, our address is podcast@planeswalkerspodcast.com.
And finally, as we saw tonight, reviews help us a lot. Not just in iTunes or Google Play, which if wherever you listen to the podcast, if you're listening to this audio, please leave us a review. It does help. But also leaving us a review on our Facebook page is fine as well. But we really do enjoy it. We're also on Anchor and a whole bunch of other places. But that being said, we are thankful for all of our listeners. We really thank you guys for tuning in every week. We'll be back next Monday night recording our latest episode. I'm sure we'll be talking about the Banned and Restricted. But for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson signing off, saying thank you very much for listening. And remember to always leave some of your mana untapped because you'll never know when you'll need it. Take care.